This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Northwest Safe. There's a lot of news happening all around the world, and right here at home, it's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So President Trump confirmed reports this morning that he is actually considering the release of detained immigrants into quote-unquote sanctuary cities or sanctuary states. And he's doing this because he wants to put pressure on some of the political opponents. Now, we briefly talked about this yesterday. The difference is this morning the president now confirmed it, and he confirmed it a couple hours after the White House denied that this was an idea that was still being discussed. Apparently, according to these reports, and again, it seems to be backed up by the president, behind the scenes, White House officials have been trying to pressure immigration agencies to release illegal immigrants into these areas, literally put them on buses or otherwise transport them to places like Seattle, a city that has declared itself a sanctuary for illegal immigrants. And President Trump on Twitter said, due to the fact that Democrats are unwilling to change our very dangerous immigration laws, we are indeed, as reported, giving strong consideration to placing illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities only. The radical left always seems to have an open borders, open arms policy, so this should make them very happy. Now, later on in the day, he actually spoke to reporters.
California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people. And they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply.
This is weirdly kind of brilliant. I don't know if he fell into this or if this is part of the genius of President Trump that a lot of people like to mock or question. This is fantastic. Make the argument specifically why a city should say no to illegal immigrants. I'd love to hear the progressive argument against this. I would love to, because literally progressives asked for illegal immigrants to come into their cities or their counties or their states. Right, Jay Inslee?
While other places close their borders and fear the unfamiliar, we are the state that opens our communities to immigrants and refugees seeking safety, shelter, and sanctuary.
Okay. So Governor Jay Inslee saying, come to our state. Come here. Live here. Be safe here. Jenny Durkin said the exact same thing. All of these progressive leaders all across the country have said, we are proudly declaring ourselves to be a sanctuary city or a county or a state. And now when the president says, okay, well, then we'll bring them there. They're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 no. This is rude. This is beneath the office of the president, right, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
It's just another notion that is unworthy of the presidency of the United States and disrespectful of the challenges that we face as a country, as a people, to address who we are, a nation of immigrants. I don't think it is a statement of American values to take children out of the arms of their parents to say it might be 2 years before we reunite them. Either don't know what you're talking about, you don't know what bonding between parent and child, whether it's father, mother, and child is. So what the president is doing is, in my view, terribly wrong.
Oh, it's terribly wrong. But it's terribly wrong to tear families apart. So the president says, okay, we'll reunite the families in Oakland, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in Seattle, in New York, in the city of Burien. But then that's too bad. This is all about his attempt to divide us. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf tells CNN the idea that Trump would send immigrants to her sanctuary city is suddenly inappropriate.
This is an outrageous abuse of power and public resources. The idea that the administration thought in any way that it would be acceptable to use families and children, human beings, as political retribution against their enemies.
I'm sorry, real quickly. How is this retribution? You said you wanted them. You're openly flaunting your disinterest in following the law, in allowing federal government agents to follow and implement the law. How is this egregious? How is it inappropriate? How is this wrong? In fact, I believe it was Julian Castro last night on Town Hall for CNN saying, now's the time. We need more migrants. He's talking specifically about immigrants who would come here illegally, it seems, because we don't necessarily have a policy that makes it easy for people to come here legally, unfortunately. This was them pandering. Pandering and pandering and pandering some more. The president, in what our friend on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline says was an epic troll, he trolled the Democrats. And it now puts them in a weird position. Now, if we had honest reporters out there, they would push back and immediately say, wait. You said you welcome them with open arms, and now the president is offering them to come to you. Why are your arms no longer open? What's going on exactly? What's going on is they got called out. And I hope people keep this in mind, the ones who thought, oh, I really appreciate the progressives who are saying, yeah, they'll allow illegal immigrants here. That's the right move. I hope you're paying attention to now that they are able to do that, they're saying no. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So a woman who is a condo owner in Northgate turned to King 5 with some surveillance video of the scary things that are happening in her neighborhood. Things that she's dealing with on a what seems like a nightly basis. And while she's complaining about this, one of several stories that we have at any given moment suggesting that this is happening all over the place, all over the city of Seattle. The city pretends, oh, it's not really happening. It doesn't really happen. Seattle isn't dying. What do you cry? I see a vibrant city. Susan, she didn't give her last name because she wants some semblance of privacy. She installed these surveillance cameras after she found people living in her building's fire sprinkler room. Homeless people who had broken in. She's called the police multiple times. There's only so much that they can do. These attempted break-ins are happening all the time, so she went ahead and put up the surveillance video.
I would say weekly, someone tries to walk in. The crime has gone up. They cut through my roof of my car. They broke into our fire sprinkler system and set up their home. It's weekly.
It's weekly. That's what Seattle has become. This is what Seattle has become under these so-called progressive leaders. She's called the police, but they haven't been able to do much.
I had some people breaking in, and when I told them I was calling the police, they turned and looked at me and they laughed. They actually laughed at me. You belong to this community network, and people are posting something every day saying, this happened to me last night, this happened to me.
Now, to be clear, it wasn't the police who were laughing at her. It was the people she was talking to. But the fact of the matter is, the police, the SPD, would love to do something. They would love to do something. Unfortunately, we have a staffing crisis within the Seattle Police Department that, again, Seattle officials generally drag their feet in actually admitting. Cops would love to do something, but they're not being empowered or staffed or given the resources to actually handle this issue. They would love to. Believe me, I talk to them on a regular basis. They would love to be able to help. Unfortunately, there are political leaders here who don't want them doing anything. Because then you would be criminalizing homeless. Now think about that. Homeless people breaking the law. If you were to punish them for breaking the law, you are criminalizing the homeless. Susan is getting to the point where she wants to move. She doesn't really want to, but she needs to, maybe. She's dragging her feet on that because she doesn't want to abandon the city that she loves.
I love Seattle and I love where I live. And it's just getting really frustrating. I don't want to do it. And I've been trying to figure out, can I hang in there? I'm trying to get, people in the community involved to try to figure out how we can make it a safer place to live.
This woman now sleeps with a baseball bat near her bed because she doesn't feel safe in her own home. We are supposedly this amazing city, this thriving and vibrant city. And yet we have scenarios like this that are unfolding on a regular basis. And we're told when we complain that we're lacking compassion for homeless people. I'm sorry, I don't have compassion for people who break into people's homes. I don't have compassion for people breaking into cars. I don't have compassion for people who are not choosing to take us up on our many offers to get them into shelter. You're right, I lack compassion when it comes to that. Seattle is absolutely dying, and we've got a bunch of leaders who are making it that much easier for this city to end. Now, it doesn't mean we can't help it. It doesn't mean it's dead. It's dying. It's not dead. we can do something about it before not only it kills Seattle, but then it spreads to Bellevue and Edmonds and Everett and Linwood and Shoreline and Tacoma and Milton, the gem of Pierce County. We can stop it from spreading if we got more involved and made sure that we put in power people who have your back, people who are not crazy fringe ideologues like a Teresa Mosqueda, like a Mike O'Brien, like a Lisa Herbold. There are people right now who are running for council who can make a difference. Sergio Garcia, Ari Hoffman. There are so many of them out there. So the question is, are you willing to help them? Even if you don't live in Seattle, because you know that the bad policies of Seattle tend to spread. Are you donating to their campaign? Whether we're talking about money or hours to help get the word out. Are you telling your friends and family about them? Are you doing enough research to know who the good candidates are? Let's take back Seattle. Because if we don't take back Seattle, we have no shot in the world of taking back Washington State. one 800 465 8770, if you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Make sure you include your name and what city you're from, so when we read it, we can give you a shout out. You are listening to The Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means? It means I get to talk movies thanks to our sponsor, Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. Go there now for some great deals on cleaning your carpets. There isn't actually a big movie coming out this weekend, so we turn to Netflix for an original film. It's called The Perfect Date. It's streaming right now on Netflix. It's about high school senior Brooks Radigan. He dreams of going to Yale, didn't we all? But there's a problem. He and his single dad can't actually afford it.
You met with the counselor today, right? How'd that go?
It was good. She told me that Yale's competitive. Did you know that?
I thought we agreed on UConn. Faculty scions only pay room and board.
Dad, I already told you not to worry about the money.
Okay, you're right. What am I worried about money? College is free, right?
I'm gonna figure it out.
I don't get it. It's a great school.
Dad, UConn is like the girl down the street who eats food in bed and smells like it.
Patty Munchrath.
I love Patty. She's fantastic, but she's not Yale. At Yale, she's smart. She's stylish, but not flashy. She's cultured, speaks multiple languages, probably knows how to sail. You get accepted by her, that means you're somebody special.
So how exactly will he make the money? Escorting, kinda. No romance is involved. No sex is involved. He apparently overheard a classmate, and it gave him an idea.
So my aunt and uncle keep begging me and begging me, and it's like I'm not going to say no.
You say no because she's family, and dating your cousin is weird.
Dude, I'm not dating my cousin. I'm escorting her to a semi-formal at Greenwich Prep. That's it. Plus, my uncle's paying me, too, so... Anyway, I mean, dude, it's like the worst timing ever, too. Like, Madison's parents are going to be gone for the night, and we'd have the entire house to ourselves.
Is your cousin hot? I'll take her if she's hot.
I'll take your cousin.
What?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
I'll take your cousin to the dance.
Oh, yeah, sandwich boy? Yeah, you're going to be wearing those plastic gloves, too? Because my aunt would love that.
No, this is Greenwich, so I would dress the part.
Why? What would you get out of it?
I'd get the payment you were talking about. And I get to take your car.
Yo, you're not taking my car.
Come on, man. You're going to tell me that you really want to give up the chance of spending an entire night alone with Madison when her parents are out of town?
So he goes on the date, and it actually worked. It was a good date. And it inspired him to start an app with his best friend to recruit other women looking for this kind of service. It's kind of like Loverboy from the 1980s, only I remember weirdly liking that movie, and I did not like The Perfect Date. This is a movie that plays it way too safe. It is way too predictable. It is a rom-com that isn't particularly romantic or funny. It's too down the middle. There's nothing exciting or fresh or new, and consequently, it feels incredibly flat. Now, I suppose depending on your age, there might be something here for you to enjoy, but anyone who isn't maybe a tween probably isn't going to get much of this movie, find much of this movie entertaining. It's a likable film, I guess, but I suppose to use one of the movie's own metaphors, it's likable, but not one you'd want to take out on a date. The Perfect Date is streaming now on Netflix, but I do not recommend it. What movie are you going to see this weekend? Send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home.
So big companies like Amazon are now legally required to put out the pay of their upper management, of their executives. And they do this because progressives want to fan the flames of anger from the activist community, anger from activists complaining that janitors don't make as much as the CEOs. And so according to the Seattle Times, they say the median pay of Amazon employees is $35,000, which is, of course, much less than what executives make. Now that shocking, right? Breaking news. Breaking news that the everyday Amazon employee doesn't make as much as the upper management. Now, for those of you who are looking at this, like, 35, that's really low. I thought they made really good money. They do. What brings the number down are the people who work in the warehouses. These are 101 jobs. These are jobs that are not meant to sustain families. These are jobs for people who have no skills, who just need some work, and then they earn their skills, learn new skills, and then move up. So what are the Amazon CEOs making? Not the CEOs. The executive CEO makes only $86,000. Amazon's ratio was 1 to 58 in 2018, which is down from 1 to 59 in 2017. So, and now what? Or is that too much? Or are they not supposed to make that much? How much should they make? Because I love hearing people go out and say, it's unheard of. All the Elizabeth Warrens and Bernie Sanders of the world. It's unreal, unbelievable, unfair that a manager would make so much more than the hardworking folks who are in the warehouses. Okay, how much should they make? What is fair to you? Because obviously normal people like you and me, we can see that someone who stocks shelves is clearly not as important to the bottom line of the company, the success of the company, than the executive vice president who created the strategy that actually got millions of people hooked on Amazon.com. So what exactly should that number be? I'm supposed to feign outrage that the median level of pay is $35,000, where someone else makes a lot more than that. I know I'm supposed to fake outrage, but I can't. I'm not that good of an actor. This is not outrageous to me whatsoever. If you want to make more money, if you want to make as much money as an executive vice president, you know what you should do? Work really hard and become an executive vice president. Is that crazy? Is that a little bit too much? Is that not something that you're willing or able to do? Okay, well, then you're not going to get to make that much. I would love to make as much as people who are millionaires right now. I'm not a millionaire. Not yet. I'm very close. Very close. I would love to make as much money as Elizabeth Warren has. 1% or Elizabeth Warren. But I don't. But you know what I do every single day? I work my tail off. I work very, very hard. I do extra work. I try to grow this station and this show. I try to grow this brand. And when I'm successful, I see more money coming in. I see more advertisers here. I see more endorsements. That's what happens. Now, if you don't want to make the wage of someone who is working in a warehouse, don't work in the warehouse anymore. It's really that simple. I know we like to pretend that we have this country that makes it impossible for people to succeed, but we have story after story after story after story of people who came from humble beginnings and became huge successes. I wasn't born with the amount of money I now have in my bank account. I worked for it. You guys can as well. I know it's not as easy as saying, well, it's not fair that the rich people have all the money. You should have it. I know it's not as easy as putting out that message, but it's reality. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. This should come as no surprise to you. WashDOT is stealing your money. Joining us in studio with more is my friend Chris Sullivan. He is the transportation reporter over at our sister station, Cairo Radio. You focus your attention on the express toll lanes on 405 because still, 3 years in, people have questions, and you found out something that's been going on this entire time, and it's basically theft.
Yeah, well, and it's something that I guess I knew was going on, but I hadn't really thought about. And it's that people are paying for miles in the express toll lanes that they are not actually driving, because the way the system was set up originally. I'll explain why it was set up that way. But for those of you, you know, your listeners on the east side, say you're on northbound 405 in Bellevue, and you're going to drive to Everett. Okay, so you're right there where the express toll lanes enter. There are three destinations on that sign, three different toll rates. One of those destinations is 522. One of those destinations is Totem Lake. I'm kind of out of order there, and the last one is Linwood. So if you get off at Canyon Park, which is Highway 527, which is a very significant off-ramp on there, you still have to pay as if you drove all the way to I-5. So you are getting off and paying for 3.5 miles of I-5 toll lane that you didn't actually drive on that trip, because the zones are set up that way. Conversely, it's even worse in the southbound direction. If you're coming down from Linwood, say you want to get off at Canyon Park or at 522, the first toll zone ends southbound in Totem Lake. So you could get off at Canyon Park and still pay for 6 miles of a drive that you didn't actually take, because that's the first complete toll zone, and you pay by the zones that they set up.
And they set it up, which makes me think they did this on purpose, knowing that they'd end up taking more money from you because then they could funnel it into the system.
Well, you would think that that's one way of looking at it. I know that's probably the popular way to look at it. The honest way, the obvious way. But there are also some other weird things at play in here on why the system was set up this way. And if you can believe it, this all goes back to a thick manual put out by the feds on types of signs you can have on freeways. And apparently, when it comes to toll signs, the federal guidelines are you cannot have more than three destinations on a toll sign. And so to add a Canyon Park or to add another place would mean you would have added another zone, which would have mean you would have had to try to put another toll on that sign.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it would in their mind, because they thought that would be because it's distracting.
Okay, but hold on. So the first sign that you encounter north or southbound, it has the three zones on.
Correct.
Okay. Well, then the second one doesn't have the first zone. The second sign that you see would only have two upcoming zones.
Right. And I asked them that question, is that, well, why not say after highway, you get on 522 there in Woodinville, north in Bothell, why not say the next one go Canyon Park and I-5? And they're like, well, either way, we can't have more than three zones. And the way they set it up, that's the reason. But I asked them that question. Well, can't you change the destinations as you go and still meet that three zone requirement, or three destinations on the sign? So that's one of the weird reasons. The other one is they went with a three zone based entirely on, you know, the sign
money
idea, and then based on traffic patterns and what they thought was going to happen. And so they thought, okay, more of the trips are going straight to I-5 than they are maybe getting off at Canyon Park. So that's why we decided to make it go to I-5.
Let's say that was the reason. Okay, fine. But knowing that they're collecting more money from people who aren't driving it, they could always adjust the pricing to go lower, like set the top end at a lower rate. Because right now it's, what, $10?
Yep.
Unless you don't have the pass, and
then it's $12. Yep.
So they could have done it at $8 at the high end. But they chose not to do that. They chose to go with the route that gives them, pardon the pun, more money.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, perhaps they could set up an algorithm that if you got off at Canyon Park, you would get a little bit of a reduction in the price that's posted. But that's the way it was set up. But yeah, I mean, people are driving miles in the express toll lanes that they're and are paying for miles that they aren't driving.
Well, couldn't they have set up another place at 522 or Canyon, wherever it is, that has that little radar machine that can figure out that you just got off at this and then give you your money back?
Yeah.
Well, only charge you X amount.
You would think, but apparently the way the system's set up, the way they set it up, they chose to set up the system in a way
that takes money away from you, because the folks over at WatchDot are crooks.
You said that?
Yeah, I 100% say that, and I'll tell that to their face. If they come on, they won't. And that's generally, I think, what you're thinking here, right?
Well,
I
mean, it certainly doesn't seem fair to me that you're paying for miles that you aren't actually driving. And that was the nexus of this conversation, where several listeners said, hey, I don't think it's fair. Why should I be paying for the extra miles that I'm not driving? And you're right. I think it's important to raise these issues, because this has been going on for 3.5 years and no one's really talked about it.
If you're joining the conversation, Chris Sullivan is joining me in studio. He's the transportation reporter for our sister station, Cairo Radio. And by the way, if you want to check out his work, mynorthwest.com/chokepoints. At the same time, this is not the worst of the worst, because there's just another piece of bad news in their algorithm on how they actually figure out how much money they're going to steal from you.
Yeah, I started to get a couple of texts recently, like within the last month or so time frame, and these are from early morning drivers, say 5 to 6 mm-hmm. o'clock time frame, where the tolls are usually relatively light.
Should be
right?
75 cents
to a buck,
point.
Maybe, unless there's a crash. And all of a sudden, they start texting me like, whoa, it's been 75 cents for 3.5 years. Today, it was 4.25, and there was no more congestion. Chris, what's going on? I was like, okay, that's interesting. I got one, two, then I started getting a bunch of them. I'm like, okay.
That would only happen if, again, suddenly there was an influx of cars at 5 a.m.
Correct.
Or whenever,
and that
or
didn't
an
happen.
Accident.
They were all saying congestion was the same as it has always been at that time, again, minus an accident.
Sure.
And so they all believed that the algorithm that judges the tolls had been changed. So I went to the tolling department, and they said, yeah, we recently changed the algorithm, and it has gone from a more reactive system where it saw the congestion and then started raising the price to price the people out of those express toll lanes like it's supposed to work, to now being more proactive or anticipatory, which means looking at the travel data they have from 3 years. About this time in the morning is when we start seeing congestion, so we're going to raise the toll in anticipation, whether that congestion actually shows or not.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point, though, because let's say there's no congestion or meaningful congestion to warrant 425. So the driver who's going down 405 will say, okay, I would pay 75 cents, but it looks clear. I'm going to skip paying the 425 because that's absurd. Well, then if you get a whole bunch of cars doing the exact same thing, then it in fact creates
the congestion.
Traffic that would otherwise not exist, and you would be collecting the 75 cents, but now you're forcing that person who's now desperate, who's already shown a willingness to pay a toll, well then, oh, screw it, I guess I'm going to have to go into it anyway. This is engineering traffic for the purposes of stealing money.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is.
It certainly looks like, and again, the system was sold or was designed to react to actual conditions, not anticipate them, but the new algorithm is more anticipatory, and they changed it, they said, to help the corridor flow better.
How did they publicize this algorithm change? What?
Not that I'm
they
aware.
They didn't change the algorithm? So have you contacted them on
this? Yeah, I talked to them, and I said, have you guys changed the algorithm lately? And they're like, oh yeah, we did.
I'm like, they didn't think to tell anybody.
Not that I'm aware of.
This is such a scam.
It was only because of listeners, because I don't drive that corridor every morning or most days, because I come down I-5 and I come early in the morning. So I hadn't noticed. So it's from the listeners' perspective who were like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they admitted they recently changed it. But yeah, I didn't see any notification that, hey, we're thinking about this. Drivers, be prepared. We're changing the algorithm.
Or give us your feedback on any of this, because this directly impacts thousands and thousands of... That is absurd. So now that they're getting the feedback, is there any hope that they're going to go back to the old system that was at least a little bit more reasonable?
Well, the one thing the tolling division has shown over the last couple of years is they are amenable to actually dealing with the realities on the road out there. And if something isn't working or could work better, they will do it. I mean, they've restriped certain portions. They added places where you can get in and out of the lanes a little easier. So they do seem amenable to actually dealing with listener concerns or feedback.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully they will in this case. And again, it's only been a couple of weeks, so I'm sure they're going to have to give it a test phase to see how what this actually does or how it handles. Now, of course, this is coming at the time during spring breaks where we haven't actually had true commutes yet, because they're staggered over about a month, really. So, well, yeah, that's true. So it'll be hard to say what the numbers are initially once we get, you know, into spring break. And the next thing you know, we'll be into summer.
This is worse than the first story we talked about here.
I buried the lead?
Yes, you did. Because that's insane. They're literally, because I've always taken the position that by creating these express toll lanes, you're already creating traffic, because most people don't want to pay $10 for the luxury of getting to work on time.
Or even 75 cents. I know people who just refuse to even do it.
It's ridiculous. And good. I'm glad people refuse it. But now they're actively forcing people out of the express toll lanes to create enough congestion in the general purpose lanes to then force them to pay a higher fee to get into the ETLs. That is absurd.
And they didn't tell anybody.
That should literally be criminal. Of course they didn't, because they want to steal as much money as they can before they get caught. Because if they do get caught and there's enough outrage, when they go, oh, our bad, but we're going to be the good guys and we're going to respond to your concerns by doing the right thing. You're the bad guys because you did this without care of the concern. Yeah. Who at WSDOT do we contact to figure this all out?
Well, you can go to the WSDOT homepage. There's WSDOT.com. There's a toll division icon you can click on right there, and on that there's a contact email, phone, whatnot. It's really easy to find, or you could just Google WSDOT toll division. They'll give you information to reach out to the director, Ed Berry, there's contacts right there if you want to reach out. Ed Berry, he's the head of the tolling division.
What if we call him directly?
We could do that too if you wanted to. I mean, I think his main number is not listed on the website, but the office number is. Yes, I do.
Okay, good, because you're going to give it to me and we're going to give out that number. In fact, text the keyword contact right now to 1-800-465-8770. We will give you the direct line to Ed Berry, and we're doing this because it's public. He works for us. Contact him. Let him know your thoughts on this literal highway robbery. Text the keyword contact to 1-800-465-8770. 8770, we'll send you the direct contact so you can contact Ed Berry. What is his deal? He's
the head of the toll division. That's a management position in the hierarchy under WSDOT.
Call him.
Under Roger Millar.
Be respectful, but be passionate about this. This is absurd. And they owe you some answers. And don't let them get away with not giving us some legitimate answers as to why they decided to do this and take more money from us. This is thievery. And this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. Text the keyword contact to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you all the information you need so you can start being more active as we take back the state of Washington from the lunacy that's currently in charge. Chris Sullivan from Cairo Radio, our sister station. Thank you so much for stopping by.
I knew this would get your blood boiling on a Friday.
Oh, and you know what? Ed Berry's going to get mad at you because he's going to know you're the sellout.
He's
who
a
gave
nice
us this
guy.
No, you know what? Nice people don't steal money from me. That's what I consider not being nice is stealing. That's Chris Sullivan. Thanks for stopping by.
Sure thing.
Welcome back to the Jason Moran Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram at Jason Rantz. Just go on your Instagram app, search for the name Jason Rantz, hit the follow button, and you can go behind the scenes of the show and see all about my life. In fact, if we get 10 new follows by the end of the show, producer Tom, who's been in a mood the last couple days, so I thought we would lighten the mood a little bit. I'll show off his new haircut. He's very proud of it. He's incredible. Why are you giving me that look? You literally, the last commercial break, you said, I love my haircut. I tried to get you to go to my guy. And you said, no, I got my own.
No, well, you initially
you said
started
you were
making fun of my haircut.
No, I didn't. No, I did no such thing.
I
did
my
no
haircut.
Such thing. When did I make fun of your haircut?
You asked me if I was in a mood. I said no. And you said, is it because of your haircut?
Yeah, that doesn't.
Yeah,
what does
and then
that
that's when I said I like my haircut.
I like your haircut too. Excuse me.
Listeners.
Did I not say directly after I appreciate the high fade? I said that, didn't I?
That's like a way of saying it's bad.
I have a high fade.
I didn't just say, "Hey, Jason,
you got a haircut that's very similar
really like
to mine." You got a haircut that's very similar to mine because I inspire people around me because I have amazing hair. That's what I'm known for.
You
other
have-
than my stinging commentary, my analysis, my humor, my wit, my humble attitude. What?
So do you wake up and your hair's like that?
Today it is, because I didn't.
Oh, but not every day.
Well, every day I usually do it. Today I didn't do it.
Okay, so you do your hair. So your hair is not amazing. You just make it look amazing. So you're masking it.
No. See,
your hair's not amazing. You style it.
Yeah, the style
okay,
of cut.
But your hair is not amazing.
No one's hair is my hair physically, if you were to just touch it, don't do it because it's creepy and the HR director's in town from corporate. If you touch my hair, it's incredibly soft because I take care of it well. The only thing about me that I care about or take care of is my hair. It's beautiful. It's beautiful when I don't do it, like today. Like right now, there's no product in my hair. I didn't blow dry it. Usually I spend about 32 to 37 minutes styling my hair.
It takes that long to make your hair look good.
Well, because it's perfect. Perfect.
It's not perfect.
Perfect just doesn't just happen.
37
yeah,
minutes
to make it perfect.
Look.
Nothing is inherently perfect other than my personality. But I'm saying you do put – it makes it a little bit easier. Now, for example, if I were to make your hair amazing as mine, it would probably take me at least 3.5 hours. Now, no one has that time, right? I mean, you don't have that time in the morning. You don't want to get up that much early, and nor do I. So we settle for what we end up going out in the world, and you settled. And I'm not saying it's – I like it. I'm telling you I like your haircut. I'm just saying it's not as good as mine. It was inspired. It's clearly
inspired.
Well, this
didn't take me 37 minutes to make it look like this. I mean, that's just a fact. So,
producer Tom, I can tell.
You are something else.
He's in a mood, so I thought I'd lighten it up. So go follow us on – how about this? Ooh, we do a poll. Your haircut against mine. We won't do it today because none of us have prepared for that. But we will do it next week.
Okay, on one condition.
No.
You can only show the hair, not
the face,
not that doesn't give
someone
an inclination of whose hair they're looking at.
Yeah, but see, here's
so
why that
to
doesn't
add
work.
Other people's hair
no,
into
I,
this.
I know what you're
we'll
doing. You want to make
a
it
pull.
A blind test. So
yes.
Okay. Well, I generally would accept that. It's hard to do that when it comes to hair because your hair it has to fit the shape of your head, right, and the other features. So, for example, your haircut might not look good on someone with a different head shape, and mine wouldn't look good on someone with a different head shape.
We'll get Darren to blur the faces. He's our KTCH utility guy. He just does everything.
I call
he's great.
Him the Renaissance man.
Sure.
And we'll I call have him what Tom could be.
We'll take pictures of 8 face. Oh, hey, what the heck?
That was good. You didn't even notice.
I wrote a really good article this week. And we'll take pictures of 10 faces and take a poll on who has the best hair. That's fair.
Okay, I'll win.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, no. We'll see.
Maybe we should put a time limit on how long we can mess with our hair. I mean, that would be something we could do.
Okay, how about this? We promise. I mean, it's going to happen. Well, we could do it here. We just get 5 minutes.
Sure.
I mean, that seems reasonable.
We just got to get 8 other people in on it. Or no, I guess it wouldn't matter. It just
the other people, yeah, we're just taking, I mean, and one of them has to be a woman to make it funny.
Sure.
Because then people will be like, I wonder who it could be.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. We'll do it. But only if I get 10 follows. And that's really not a lot. 10 follows right now on Instagram under the screen name Jason Rantz. If we do that, we will still show you his hair today. But also we'll have this contest next week. And we'll make a big deal about I might do an hour on just talking about hair. Because, you know, it's AM 770 KTTH.